All right, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. And while you're turning there, I wanted to go ahead and tell you, I'm talking on fear this morning. Let me ask you, how many of you have been afraid over the past year about something? I'll raise two. I've had a lot of fear in my life. Anybody else there? Right? And if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. Right? We've all been scared about something. A lot of us have been scared about the same things. A lot of us are scared about different things, but we've all had fear in our lives. This is not new to the past 2 years. Fear has been around for a very long time. And so I wanted to address it, but as I was looking through some of just the materials I've preached, some things I've done over the past, I found a sermon that I have to share an illustration that I gave, and this was 9 years ago. And I happened to pick this up and just skimming through it, and it was a lesson on fear, and I was like, well, let me see. And listen to what I said. This was 9 years ago, and I just thought it was so interesting. I wanted to share it with you, and then we'll get to what I want to say. This is how I said it. Talking about fear. Here, let me give you a little context. No, it's okay. Talking about fear. I was driving by Walgreens the other day on my way to church, and out front was signs for free shots. They had shots for meningitis, flu, whooping cough, and pneumonia. This is how I said it, okay. I mean, we can't turn around without finding something new to be afraid of in the world. I was talking with Sandy, one of our members at this small church. I was talking with Sandy about this very thing the other night. She said, oh yeah, and you even have to be careful to get on planes now because you can catch Ebola. She laughed and said, before long, we'll all be wearing masks everywhere we go. I laughed and said, yeah, and I'll be preaching in a hazmat suit. But really, Nathan, she said, I'd wear my mask if I was on those planes. And I said, Sandy, where's your faith? And she said, without hesitation, behind my mask. That was 9 years ago. Can you believe that? I just thought it was so humorous to read that, and I thought, wow, a lot has changed since then. Amen? And so, but I want to talk with you about fear this morning. Fear is a real thing that we all experience, and as Wayne was beautifully reading our scripture, I love this passage, and I can't help but think about this story when I'm afraid. This is where my mind goes. You know, we all have those scriptures that we love, and you're going through something in life, and you have that story maybe that you go to, or you have that psalm that you love, whatever it is for you. This is it for me when I'm scared. I think about this story. I think about Peter walking on this storm-tossed sea, and Jesus reaching out his hand to help him in the midst of this chaos. And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. Let me start with one of my old preacher stories. One day, Grandma sent her grandson Johnny down to the old watering hole to get some water for cooking dinner. And as Johnny was dipping the bucket into the water, he saw two big old eyes looking back at him. And so he dropped the bucket and he hightailed it for Grandma's kitchen. And as soon as he walked in, Grandma said, well, where's my bucket and where's my water? I can't get the water from that watering hole, Grandma, exclaimed Johnny. There's a big old alligator down there. Oh, now don't you mind that old alligator, Johnny. He's been there for a few years now, and he's never hurt nobody. Why, he's probably as scared of you as you are of him. Well, Grandma, replied Johnny, if he's as scared of me as I am of him, then that water ain't fit to drink. Now, I believe fear is something we deal with a lot in our lives, right? Even as kids, we have a lot of things that we've been scared of over our life. Fear is something that we constantly have to battle. And if you're the one who says, oh, I don't fear anything, okay. Yeah, you're the one, right? And my belief is that everyone battles these emotions of fear. And yes, maybe you have learned how to handle your fear better than I have, but you still have it. And you still struggle with it. And so this is something we have. Our world tells us to fear so many different things. Some of them are real, some of them are not, right? But it tells us there are so many things that we have to be scared of. Disease, global warming, pain, loneliness, death, ridicule, money, fear of the unknown. And so there's just so many things that we have to fear. And as I think about our text, notice that Peter and these other disciples have the same fear that we do, right? But they allowed that fear to control their faith. And you see, as a Christian, you have one of two choices. Are you going to allow your fear to control your faith, or are you going to allow your faith to control your fear? That's the only choice that you have when fear comes along. And so which will it be? So what I want us to do this morning very quickly is to look at three areas in which we need to make sure we allow our faith to control the fear. And the first one is the fear of failure. The fear of failure. I looked up on Google, so I know this is true. For a list of the most dreaded and common fears. And the number one answer on the list that I found was the most common fear was the fear of failure. And that I really don't doubt that much, because I look at my own life and that's so true of me. I struggle with the fear of failure. What if I preach a sermon and it's not good enough? What if I talk to somebody about Jesus and I don't say the right thing? What if I don't live up to my parents' expectations of the life that they wanted for me? What if I'm not a good enough dad? What if? What if? What if? And I struggle and I live in this. And I know I'm the only one in here, right? We struggle with this. And it's a real thing. It's human nature for us to want to succeed in life. We don't want to do things poorly. We want to do things well. We want to succeed. We don't want to fail. And so this fear really grips us. For example, there's so many Christians. How many of you struggle with this, right? I know it's me as well, who don't share the gospel or don't talk about Jesus because we're scared, because we don't know what to say. And so rather than saying the wrong thing and rather than failing at the conversation, our solution is just not to talk about it at all. They don't teach Jesus to other people because they're worried they're going to fail. They're scared they won't say the right thing, use the right scripture, say it at the right time, or say it at the right place. And so to sum it all up, people are scared to fail. And so here's what I appreciate about my text. Here's why I jump to this story is when I'm scared of failing, when I'm scared of doing the right thing in front of me, whether it's having a conversation, whether it's sharing the gospel, whether it's doing something I'm scared that I would do wrong, whatever it may be. And a lot of times, by the way, that's a phone call. You ever get nervous when you're about to have to call somebody and have a tough conversation that you don't want to have? There's so many things we're scared of with failure. And as I think about our text, I see Peter. And there was a lot of things that Peter did wrong, right? Like we talked about Peter not too long ago with his denial and with following Jesus at a distance and with Jesus trying to rebuke Jesus and have this side conversation. I mean, Peter did a lot of things wrong. And even in this text, there's some things that Peter did wrong. But I'll tell you what, there's one great lesson that we can learn from Peter in this, and it's the fact that he got out of the boat. He got out of the boat. And he left all the other disciples sitting in the boat. And they're calling out to this figure, and they're calling out to Peter from the safety of their boat, but Peter's willing to step out. Now, when he got out there, yeah, he looks around, and he says, wow, this is dangerous, this is terrifying. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink, and then he gets scared and cries out. But you know what? At least he had the opportunity to have the experience to fall, because he was willing to take the first step to get out in the water on the first place. And that is a lot more than I'm willing to do at many times in my life. What about you? Peter got out of the boat. And he was willing to step out into a storm. I mean, this wasn't just walking on water, which is enough to be terrifying. This was walking in the midst of a raging storm. It's not just scary, it's also potentially very dangerous. But he was willing. And so the question for us is, are we willing to put ourselves in difficult situations, possibly even dangerous situations, for the sake of doing what God is calling us to do? God was calling, Jesus was calling for Peter to come. Will Peter choose to accept, or will he stay in the safety of his boat? And that's really easy to preach about until you're faced with the reality of the storm around you, and then it becomes really hard to live out, doesn't it? And yet that's what God's calling us to do. So in even in our fear of failure. We need to be willing to leave the boat. So when's the last time that you've talked to someone else about Jesus? When's the last time you had a conversation with anyone else? And no, Sunday morning at church does not count. Okay? When's the last time you had a talk with someone about Jesus? And now I'm not just saying go out. Now, what the only way for you to be faithful or to live the application of my sermon is to go put a sign together, a big poster board, and put Jesus loves you and go hold it up while everybody's passing by on traffic. I mean, if you want to go do that, go for it. I'm not going to be upset. But what I'm saying is you've got friends and you've got family who aren't Christians. You've got people in your life who you talk to very often, maybe on the phone, maybe you see them at holidays, whatever it is, and you have people in your life who are not going to church, who might have been Christian but fell away, whatever it may be, but you're scared to approach that topic because of the fear of failure. What if they judge me? What if they don't like me? What if I make them angry? What if that pushes them farther away from the church? And so rather than trying to have a healthy conversation, we have none at all. But we're willing to talk about other things. And no matter where you're at on the debate of COVID, we're willing to have that conversation. It's being had, right? People talk about it all the time. And here's the deal. No matter how important and significant COVID is, the physical disease pales in comparison to the spiritual disease called sin in our life. So why are we willing to have one conversation but not another, as if we care more for physical health than spiritual health? Am I saying that it's wrong to talk about that? No. Am I saying nobody should talk about COVID? No. But what I'm saying is we've got to make sure that we don't just talk to people and worry about physical health. Our world is so consumed right now with that. And what happens is when we only talk about one or elevate one, another's neglected. And Jesus says, we're fighting a spiritual battle, right? That our life is more than just flesh. And so we've just got to make sure that we keep what's most important the most important, right? So, the fear of failure. I took, again, from this older sermon that I have. I've got to share this as well. My point was to just get out of the boat. You've got to get out of the boat. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. And I said, just remember, every baseball team could use a man who plays every position perfectly, never strikes out, and never makes an error. And believe it or not, that person exists. The trouble is, there's no way to make him lay down his hot dog and come out of the stands. And in reality, we do. We've got to come out of the stands, right? We've got to get out of our pews. We've got to get out of our comfort zone and take a step into facing the fear of failure and not allowing it to control you. It's okay that you're scared to fail. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel that way. If you didn't feel that way, you wouldn't be human. If you didn't have those thoughts that say, what if I mess up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if this doesn't go right? What if I let them down? What if they... And so it's normal that you have some of those fears. But God's commanding you to have faith over the fear. The problem wasn't that Peter was scared. The problem was that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and looked to his fear. That's when he began to sink. And the same thing happens for us as well. So fear of failure. Number two, not only that, but we also have a fear of finances. A fear of finances. An expectant mother was being rushed to the hospital, but she didn't quite make it. She gave birth to her baby on the hospital lawn. And believe it or not, the father actually received a bill described as delivery room fee, $500. And so he wrote a letter to the hospital reminding them that the baby was born on the front lawn. And so a week passed and a corrected bill was sent. It said greens fees, $200. Our world's obsessed with money, right? Our world is all about money. If you want happiness, if you want success, if you want a good life, then you need more money. If you just work three jobs and have more money and more income, then you can get all the things you want and need. Of course you're depressed. You don't have enough money. Of course you're miserable. You don't have enough money. Of course your kids left the house. You didn't have enough money, right? Everything from the world's perspective can be solved oftentimes with money. And so Often I think we've become a world that unknowingly seems to worship money. It's like the young man who asked his fiancée, if we get married, will you be able to live on my income? And she answered, I think so, but what will you live on? Is it wrong to have money? No, right? Is it wrong to work hard to receive a lot of money? No, right? Do we need money for certain necessities in life? Absolutely. But obsession with money leads to fear. And I believe that with my whole heart. People are afraid of not having money, and the fear of finances is huge. So many of us are scared that if we lose our money, we will lose in life. But Scripture tells us that God's with us. It calls him Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. And if the Lord could provide for Abraham in the way that he did, then can he not provide for us in our time of need as well? Absolutely. But it's hard to believe that when it feels like, oh, we don't have enough money. And so we still have that fear. And listen, this fear is not just for our individual lives. This fear has started running rampant through churches as well. I say that because I know of a lot of churches. I say a lot. No, I don't. I know of two. Let me be honest here. Don't exaggerate it. I know of two churches who have money invested in the stock market. I think that's wrong. I think that's living in fear of failure, fear of finances. That's living to say, we need to make sure we have enough money, and so let's go invest this money to get more. So eventually, one day, years from now, when it turns into a lump sum, then we can start supporting people. But that's not what God says, and that's not what necessarily being a good steward looks like. Yes, God calls you to be a good steward with your money. God calls us to give, but we give and we have money as a church so that we can bless others, not so that we can hoard it ourselves and keep it for ourselves and invest it, right? We want to give it, and that's what we're called to do. But fear of finances locks some churches that I know into literally just collecting and saving and not giving and not supporting. And one of the churches, I don't know about the other one because I don't know them very well. All I knew was that they supported or had money in the stock market. But this other one that I knew never mind. The reason that I know this is because I've been a part of that church and they didn't support anyone. There was no giving of money. Can you believe that? I can. Because they were operating out of the same fear that I feel oftentimes. Fear of finances. So, look at yourselves. Look at your fears. Look at your worries. Is your faith controlling your fear of finances? Or is your fear of finances controlling your faith? And the last one is this, fear of the future. And this, for me, is the biggest one in my life. This one is the most difficult for me. Fear of finances. Let me share with you a story. There were these three timid women from Nashville, and they were venturing to New York City in spite of the risk that they knew of mugging that was they so greatly feared. But they wanted to go, and so they go, and sure enough, in their hotel elevator, they knew it was going to happen. And this huge man enters in, and when the doors closed, he says, "Sit down." And immediately the three women squatted on the floor, but nothing else happened, and the elevator stopped at the lobby, and the man just gets out. And finally the women look up and the doors closed and they're alone, and they were so terrified, but God was with them and he protected them. But that night, a dozen red roses awaited them in their room. And a card on the roses says, "Please accept these flowers and my apology. You must not have seen my dog when I told it to sit. I was so embarrassed, I did not know what to do, so I just got off. I'm sorry." The card was signed Reggie Jackson. I don't know if that's true. Don't hold me to it. But man, what a story, right? And here's the deal. These women were so focused on their worst case scenario. Oh, we're going to go and we're going to get mugged, that they spoke it into existence. When something happened, they didn't even take the time to turn and assess the situation, because their mind was so focused on their fear, they created the very thing they were scared of. And oftentimes our focus on our own fears create the very same thing that we're scared of happening, right? Have you ever had that happen in your life? Oftentimes it's our fear that creates the bad things that happen. And if we would just have faith and trust in God to take care of us, many of those bad things, I'm certain, wouldn't come about. So now a lot of you are going to go be scared of your own fear, aren't you? Right? I've given you this morning your fear of your fear. No, that's not the point, right? There's so many scriptures in the Bible about people who were scared of the future or scared about the unknown. They were worried about tomorrow. Listen to this, Isaiah 21 and verse 4. My mind reels. Horror overwhelms me. The twilight I longed for has been turned for me into trembling. Daniel 4 and verse 5, same kind of concept. I saw a dream and it made me fearful. And these fantasies as I lay on my bed and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. Have you ever been there? I'm laying on my bed and I'm trying to go to sleep and my fear is keeping me awake and I'm continually replaying these scenarios because like those women, I'm focused on what if the worst case scenario happens and I can't get it out of my mind. And this fear keeps me awake. These men are worried about the unknown and they're dwelling on the worst case scenario. And so on that list of top 10 fears that I found in Google, that's absolutely true, the second most common fear was fear of the unknown. And I also believe that that is very accurate. But God is the only one who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? As Proverbs 27 and verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. God says, you don't know about tomorrow, but I do. So don't worry about tomorrow. Have faith in me. One of the most comforting passages in Scripture is Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. And God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God knows what tomorrow will bring. And he's got a plan for you. So trust him. You know, it'd be one thing if God just knew what was going to happen, but he takes it a whole other step. I know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you're fitting into my plan. I'm going to take care of you. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful promise to reminding us to have faith in him. And so just like Jesus said to Peter in his time of doubt, God is looking at you, and he's looking at me in our times of doubt, and he says the same thing. Where is your faith? Trust me. I've got this. You know, another fear of the future that we have is not just about the unknown of tomorrow, but oftentimes many people are scared of death. We have this fear of dying, and especially as people continue in age, they may begin to think and talk more and more about death, but God shows us throughout his scripture, time and time again, that we as Christians have absolutely nothing to fear, and he often groups death in there and mentions it specifically because he knows that's often a lot of the things that we're worried about and one of the biggest things that we fear. And he says, do not be afraid. Right? Paul didn't allow his fear of death to sink in, right? Philippians 1:21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is. We love that and we quote that and we know that because we want that, but sometimes we feel we can't have it. Did you follow what I said? We love that scripture and we quote it for a reason because we look at Paul and say, wow, I wish I could feel that way. I wish I could do that, but I just can't get over my fear. And what I'm telling you this morning is this. It's not wrong for you to have your fear. It's not wrong to feel scared. But you have a choice in how you're going to handle it. Your fear does not have to control you. Your fear does not have to keep you locked away hiding. Your fear does not have to suppress what God is calling you to do. God's word is still there. His great commission is still there, and he still has a plan for you. And so often, my fear keeps me from doing what I feel is right. But I have a choice. I have a choice. And I can choose to say, I may be scared. I may be fearful, but I'm going to choose to do the right thing. I'll tell you one of the times I let it bog me down. This was a long time ago, many years ago. I still remember this because it was a powerful moment in my personal life. I was driving, and I was on my way to church, and there was a guy hitchhiking on the side of the road in the middle of Louisiana. And here I am on my way to church. I'm a single guy. I'm by myself. I've got plenty of room in my car, and I just drive right on by and didn't even think anything of it. And the whole time I was through that sermon, that service that Sunday, I just kept thinking about this guy that I left and didn't even stop to pick him up. And he was clearly wanting to head the direction I was going to my church anyway. Right? And I just let him pass on by. And the thing was, is I taught a class that morning, and the class was on fear. And so here I am talking about fear, and I shared with the class, I opened up and I said, you know what, I'm really convicted right now. I drove by this guy on the way to church and didn't even pick him up. And a lot of the people in there said, oh no, that was a good thing, because what if that guy had a knife? What if he had a gun? What if he was a mean guy? He could have taken advantage of you, and you didn't have anybody else with you, and so you shouldn't have done that. And they just fed right into my fear. And initially I go, you know, they're right. Yeah. And then I realized, no, what am I doing? What am I doing? And so I went back a week later, and sure enough, there was another guy doing the same thing, and I was able to pick him up, and guess what? We had a lovely conversation, a great time, and then he came to church the following week because he wanted to go to the church that had a preacher who was willing to pick him up on the side of the road when I didn't know him at all. Are there people who have gotten taken advantage of, not just in situations like that, but in other situations? Sure. But that's why it's called stepping out of the boat into a storm-filled sea. But God's still calling you to step out. And sometimes, yes, stepping out will get you into a situation that says, I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel good about this. I'm scared right now. But God still says, I know what tomorrow holds, and I have a plan for you. And so don't allow your fear to suppress what God wants you to do. Let me read this scripture, and then I'll wrap up here. Paul again wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. I told you about Manny Canales, a guy back at one of my old churches who always used to come up, and he would reach out his hand. He had a cane, and he even had cancer at one point and was battling his cancer, but he would still reach out his hand, and he'd shake mine. He'd say, Nathan, how are you doing? I'd say, I'm doing good, Manny. How are you doing? He'd say, I'm blessed because I've read the back of the book, and we win. I love that. And it didn't matter what that guy was going through. And he went through some scary stuff. And he thought he was going to lose his life. And it got to the point where he would come up and he would shake your hand, and he would have to almost whisper because he didn't even have the strength to talk. And he would still be saying, I'm blessed because I've read the back of the book. And we win. And he would still have a smile on his face, even in the midst of something that would cause so many to have so much fear, because he trusted the Lord. And what's amazing is that the Lord has healed him. And not too long ago, I got to go back to Louisiana, and I went to the church, and guess what, man? He's there, and he's still blessed because he still read the back of the book. And guess what? We still win. I love it. Let me read this passage as we close. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. In other words, the physical things, right? What you'll eat and drink and what you'll wear. Don't worry about the flesh. Is not life more important than food? See how he just took that and he says, don't just focus on the physical, man. There's this spiritual aspect that you've got to remember and you got to be sure to focus on. He says, is life not more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See the lilies of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what shall I wear? For the pagans run after all these things. The world runs after all those kinds of things. The world's going to continue to talk about the flesh. The world's going to continue to focus on the things here. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In other words, he sees it. He says, the physical things, they're real. Yes, it's not something you should just completely avoid, but here's the thing. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things, what things? The physical things will be added unto you. In other words, you seek first his kingdom, and God will take care of your physical earthly fears. What a beautiful passage. What great hope. Folks, just like Peter, there are many moments where we just have to allow our faith to control our fear. And he did that because he was willing to step out of a comfort zone. And he didn't do it perfectly, and neither will we. We'll mess up and we'll sink at times, but Jesus is right there. When we're out of the boat, he can reach his hand and help us out. But there's no reason for him to reach a hand into the boat. He's waiting on you to take that first step and to say, I choose to do the scary thing and not let my fear keep me down. Either you believe that scripture or you're an African impala. Y'all look confused. Either you believe that scripture or you're an African impala. And the African impala jumps 10 feet high, 10 feet in the air, and 30 feet distance. This thing can practically soar. It's beautiful if you ever see them in the zoo. But you know how they're kept in the zoo? A 3-foot fence keeps an animal that can jump 10 feet high and 30 feet long contained because, listen, they won't jump if they can't see where their feet are going to land. And so their fear is what keeps them in a containment 3 feet high. And listen, Satan is keeping some of you trapped by a 3-foot fence called fear. And it's time for you to break free. Whether it's the fear of failure, fear of finances, fear of your future, or any other fear that sets in, God is telling you the same thing he told those scared disciples that night. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And so if you've been living a life full of fear, my encouragement to you is don't walk out of here with the same fear you came in with. Come forward during this invitation song and let us help you as you choose to say, my fear will control me no longer, and choose to trust God with the future of your life. The lesson's yours. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.